Lord, on this last Sunday in the church year, we are reminded of all that you have done for each of us. Your great love that came down to earth. And on this day, we need to look at who we are. Who we are because of that great sacrifice that you and you alone have made on our behalf. In your name we pray. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in the church year. Next week we start a new church year with the Advent season. And as we end this church year, because the last Sunday church year is about the end times, about Christ coming again, and all those things wrapped up, and one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is, who are you? Who are you? As you live in 2022, who are you? When you begin to think about it, there are probably a mixture of things that might be running through your mind. Hopefully there are. How about your bringing up? Your father, your mother, your siblings. How did your parents push you? Or encourage you, or challenge you? How did you react? What did you do or didn't do as you grew up? I have sat with people who wished they would have listened more to their parents when they were growing up. Part of it involves where you are in the family. A number of years ago, Dr. Kevin Lehman wrote a book, and there's several editions of the book. It's the Birth Order Book. And if you've ever read the book or studied the book, you know that he talks a lot about where you are born in the family also gives you certain characteristics that tend to be common to that order in your family. That first child, the blazer, the strong-willed oftentimes, and yes, sometimes the one who's very black and white. And then there is, of course, the baby of the family. I got to occupy that for 12 years until my family had an oops come along. That was common in those days. Yes, where we are in a family, and sometimes as I talk with some of you, I can sort of figure where you are in a family by the characteristics you sometimes emanate who you are. Some of you were born into large families. And in those families, there were some of the older siblings who were leaving home when babies were still being born. It was common for those older siblings to be a part of that growing up and nurturing the younger ones. And you have to identify where you are in that family. How you reacted, or how others reacted, helped to shape who you are today. And of course, then there's education. We can't forget about education. Some of you were encouraged, inspired, and yes, by either an educator or by a parent, by things in your life, you found education to be the real catch for you. You were shaped by the acceptance or your willingness to follow what you had been taught. Or how about your job? Your performance may be shaped by the likes and dislikes of your boss, for instance. Some of it is shaped by your coworkers around you. And some of it is shaped by your own like and dislike of your job. There are a variety of mixtures, like other performances some of us have a tendency towards laziness, some towards knowledge, some towards performance, some, and all of those affect who you are. And so who are you? And how about your church? You've been through a lot in the last couple years. You've had to rethink, reevaluate, consider where you want to go, what you want to do, what you want to be. And who are you in this congregation? Are there still those in the congregation you have not yet reconciled with? Because I know there are. Have you really looked at where you're going as a congregation as you begin the process of calling a pastor, someone to lead you? And some of you want to hold on to the past. And you're just sort of sitting back quietly waiting. Who are you? Who really are you? Some of you have done those inventories, those spiritual gifts inventory, or at work where you have to figure out what animal you are and all those kind of inventories that are done. And so it always comes back to the question, who are you? As we consider the end of time, as we consider our own life, we have to ask ourselves, who am I? How do all the things that have been in my life affect where I am today? How have those played roles of who you are? Maybe if you like yourself and others, that gives you a better self-worth. Or pick the adjective you want to use. If you're struggling with your self-worth, think of yourself as a bad person wondering about life, wondering about the things you have done or should have done or haven't done. Again, pick an adjective because of that self-condemnation you live with day in and day out. Today is the last Sunday in the church year. These last two Sundays focus on the end of time. The church proclaims that Christ is King. Sometimes this is called Christ the King Sunday or the last Sunday in the church year. It's about that judgment day that will come. We have numerous passages in Scripture proclaiming signs and wonders, and yet we speak and we listen to all of those and we say, oh, we're living in the end times, and yet not yet. Because it is not we who are in control, but it is God who is in control. As we look at the scripture readings this morning, they're a rather interesting mix. In Malachi, we hear these words that could be spoken to our time. And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. And then they talk about those who are so focused on possessions. But Malachi doesn't end there. He follows with some beautiful words about those who feared the Lord. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and he heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And in that day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Malachi puts an indictment on those who do not serve God. He talks about that treasured possession that belongs to God. Throughout the scriptures, we hear those words about all of God's people are a treasured possession. And so we ask ourselves, who are we? And then there is the gospel reading this morning. Seems out of place to be talking about the crucifixion, about what God has done for us, and yet consider who we are in Christ. Because on the cross, it was about each one of you. It's about each one of us. It's about what God has done for us. And so the question oftentimes when we ask it is, who are you? But I think there's a more important question. Who are you in Christ? Because that's what the crucifixion was all about. Our epistle lays it out so beautifully as Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That is, everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Let that sink in for a moment. In him was all the fullness of God pleased to dwell. The question becomes, why would God want to redeem any one of us? Why was he willing to become our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer? To show such love for such a contentious creation. St. Paul puts it all in perspective when he tells us that who you are is who you are in Christ, only because of who he is. So many times in life, we want to focus on, look at all the things we have done. Look at who I am. And you know, we see that in our world all the time. We've been witnessing a lot lately about those who want to tell us how great they really are. And they want to measure their greatness by the things they have done. But we need to come back and let that sink in. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Another part of that text says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. And invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. If you think you're really something and you don't see yourself in Christ, you're in a bad place. You can blow your horn all you want, but you're nothing without Christ. It is he who suffered, died, and rose again. He is the firstborn of all of creation. There at the creation, all things were created through him and for him. Oh yes, Paul says even more. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. It's important on, as we end another church year, as we think about our own lives, because lives are lived and yes, we will all die. But who are you? Who are you in Christ? Because you see, that's the good news for your life and my life. For in him the fullness of God dwells. He is the fullness of who we are. He has accomplished for us what we could not do. You may be struggling with all kinds of issues in your life right now. Maybe you have issues with a parent or grandparents that you're trying to work through how to care for them. Maybe you find it difficult to be at peace because of some grudges you just can't let go of. And some of those grudges have been there for years. And yet you remain holding on tightly to them. And some of you may be thinking, if you only knew the pain, the suffering, the brokenness in my life. My life is at frayed ends. Sitting even here in this sanctuary this morning, there may be some of you feeling that right now. Wondering through those pains, afflictions, the brokenness, how could God love someone like me? You see, we're not here because we are good. That's a given. We are here because we need to hear the good news of what God continues and is doing for us. When we have to stand before God on that judgment day, it will not be on our merits. It will not be on our brokenness. But we can stand before our God because of who Christ is and what he has done and continues to do. It is Christ who redeemed you, who loves you with an everlasting love. It is never a question about who you are. The real question is, who are you in Christ? And as we look at the end of all things, when we look at our last breath here on earth, what will really matter is, where is Christ in your life? You look to him for all that he has accomplished for you. So the question is not who you are. The question is, who are you in Christ? Amen.